I'm going to be talking this evening about being alert for joy. Deb Kerr, in her November 21 talk, set a really good foundation for understanding joy in our lives and in our practice. Joy is a part of our nature, our birthright as human beings. It's part of the joy of awareness that is open to the vastness beyond our separate selves. But you know, we're not always feeling this innate joy for several reasons, like trauma, pain, and just your run-of-the-mill dukkha, that internal suffering that is caused by our minds clinging to things. Even so, we can increase our sensitivity to joy. In other words, cultivate it. Our brains have not evolved to be alert for joy. In humanity's early years, in fact, for most of its years, there have been large animals that had to be escaped or hidden from because they preyed on our caveman ancestors, who were fully human and very alert for things to go badly. That history is deep in our brains, and we're still constantly on the lookout for problems, like we're gazelles with predators nearby. We still expect misfortune, now usually in the form of trouble with other human beings. There's so much we want, and so much that might not come to us, and what we have might be lost. The news media never lets us forget how much tragedy is possible. With this bias in our brains and our hectic schedules, it's so easy to lose sight of the abundant joy available to us without our having to strive for it. In fact, striving for joy diminishes it in many ways. One of my favorite passages is the Buddha exhorting his Sangha to be joyous regardless of life's conditions. Let us live happily, he said, free from hate amidst hatred, free from illness amidst sickness, free from craving amidst greed. Let us live happily, like bright gods feeding on joy. There are countless translations of this, but essentially this passage conveys that we can even be feeling the dukkha of others as well as our own dukkha and still be free from it, still focused on joy and nourished by it. So we don't have to just sink with the downers of life. We can be there and still rise above. It's all about where we place our attention. Our attention is the most powerful thing about us. If we focus on our clinging, our suffering will proliferate. If we lift our attention to joy, we will be free, even when we are sick or surrounded by hatred. Sympathetic joy, one of the Brahma Viharas, is a wonderful source of joy available to us. It does not require that we be happy exclusively for someone else's happiness. We can be happy for our own. By that I mean that we celebrate the joy that comes without our striving for it. Often when, as Deb pointed out, we are serene and in touch with our fundamental nature, united with all other beings, then we naturally share our happiness through the way we live in connection with others, just as we share theirs, which is the way sympathetic joy is commonly understood. It is only when we see ourselves as isolated little selves and strive for our own desires to be met that we lose touch with the abundant joy that comes freely to our heart. We don't have to be in a state of satori or samadhi or the jhanas to experience this joy, although those are prime opportunities. It's in the moments of our regular meditation, when the mind settles and focuses, and we can lean back into that peace, just letting go into the pleasure and sparkle of being present with that moment. It's not that extraordinary. My first Zen teacher loved to say, "Nothing special. It's just settling into what's always an aspect of our open, unguarded awareness." This capacity to open to all that is contains love, which is almost inseparable from joy. Joy is part of the fabric of our essential nature. All we need to do is stop focusing on problems or running around trying to acquire pleasure and happiness, and just relax and open our hearts to what's right here, now. Now, I want to talk about how to live more joyously in daily life. So, I come with tips on ways to be alert for joy. It requires setting an intention. Decide to notice when you observe joy. Form and maintain the intention to notice what even looks like joy, and then check it out. I often teach about noticing or being alert for various aspects of the Dharma. And when I say this, what comes to my mind is hiking in the mountains. The lofty wilderness is my temple of joy. So on backpacking trips, I was always slowing down to look up and down creeks, in valleys, and around at the peaks and lakes. My companion had to stop every so often and wait for me to catch up. There are bits and flashes of beauty and joy in so many places. Moving through the day is similar to hiking through nature. You may not recognize when you're looking right at something beautiful until you let your attention rest there, mindfully. We just need to decide to do that. Then, when we see joy, take it into your heart and savor it. Beauty, or aesthetic delight, is a rich opportunity for joy. I really feel it in my heart when I see beautiful things and my world seems to expand. Here are some everyday run-of-the-mill examples of beauty that can bring anyone joy. The simplest elements of design, colors, shapes. My 6-year-old grandnephew did a drawing, incredibly sophisticated compositions of lines and blocks of shaded color. These same things can be seen all around in plants, animals, and landscapes. The angle of the sun brings them out and transforms them. I took a photo down my street at 3 p.m. last month when the maples planted by the city were in full flame of color. And that 3 o'clock light in November just made them burst brilliantly. Another thing is the glint of light on water, bouncing on things above it. Landscapes from different vantages or times of day or year. Professional photographers will have their favorite places and just keep going back to them. What does it look like now? And man-made objects, well-adorned houses, and other buildings. On a visit to New York, a friend who was guiding us around said, "You have to look up, keep looking up." And art, for Pete's sake, art. Notice the loveliness of other beings. We have a bird bath. I look right out at it from my desk where I'm sitting now. And birds come to it. Imagine that. And for years, I thought that there were times of day when the wind hit the bushes around the bird bath and it make it flutter. And then I realized it's a big flock of tiny birds that come to those bushes and very orderly wait their turn to get in the bird bath. And, you know, I started observing them, and I don't want to go into too much about this, but they had a pecking order and they knew when it was their turn. When someone was hogging the bird bath, they'd kind of dive over them. So much joy. I loved them and I loved watching them. Children playing. I mean, what's not to be delighted about that? Especially when they're showing affection to people or to animals. Puppies, For Pete's sake, puppies and kittens and grown-ups being generous and kind to others. We can practice giving little pleasures to others, human and otherwise. Like driving, you know, we have to do it. It can be annoying, but we can practice this generosity of leaving room so that people can move around in traffic, get to their exit, come into the lane. Or standing in line and letting someone in ahead of you. I love to send cards, and I should do it more often, but I love getting them. So I know it's a way of giving joy to other people. And I can even do it in texts and emails, social media. Just have to be careful how I phrase it. And showing up with little gifts, just a few flowers or little simple things. Remarking on how well people seem to be doing. Telling them you love them or you're glad to be their friend. I can't hear that too often. And then the little ones, you know, the four-legged ones, I love to sweet talk a cat or a dog and figure out how they like to be petted. And we can always open to the joy of others that can be mixed with suffering. I've spent about 5 years or more working with people who were dying. And it showed me how intricately joy and suffering are mixed in our experience. We don't have to be overwhelmed by the suffering. That joy that's in there can keep lifting us up. The first day that I went to the hospice ward at Laguna Honda Hospital, I had been on a tour of the whole hospital, and I had seen some gruesome wards. They were basically warehouse rooms, storing bodies that weren't quite alive, but hadn't yet died. And I was pretty depressed by the time I got to the hospice ward. It was this huge 38-bed ward. And what I saw when I first walked in was a crowd of people. It turned out they were all hospice volunteers like I was, and some of the nursing staff and other personnel surrounding a woman in a wheelchair who could barely hear or see and barely move. She had to be pushed around. Her fingers were bent with arthritis, and she was one of the happiest people I have ever seen. She was practically giggling with delight because she was being showered with love by all of those people surrounding her. So when I get down, I just have to think of her. So I'm going to invite you now to settle into this idea that joy is readily available to you. When you're meditating, it might just be a little frisson of pleasure that paying attention has taken you away from your dukkha. I'm going to do a guided meditation now, and I invite you to sit back, relax, and let your imagination go with what you hear. The phrases I'm going to say are meant to evoke feelings, not to alter reality. There's nothing magical about this. Let the words incline your mind toward kind and tranquil thoughts. Remember a time when you had these feelings, and let the words evoke them now. May I feel peaceful and happy. Imagine or remember a feeling free of agitation, of infinite calm and relaxation, without the disturbance of any cares or concerns. Peaceful. Give yourself permission to have that feeling, to savor it, luxuriate and revel in it. Say to yourself, may I feel peaceful. Then bring into this tranquility the element of energy, delight, or whatever else is for you, the essence of being happy. Give yourself wholehearted permission to thoroughly enjoy that feeling too. May I feel safe and confident. How would it feel to have no fears? What would it mean to live without anxiety, worry, or a sense of vigilance? Let yourself feel what it would be like to be completely free of these feelings. Perhaps you can remember a time when you knew you were completely safe. How does that feel? And imagine this sense of complete safety being permanent, giving you a confidence that you would never need to be anxious again. Wish this for yourself, saying, may I feel safe and confident. May I feel patient and kind. Think of how you feel when there's nothing irritating you. The behavior of others doesn't affect you personally in any negative way, leaving you tranquil and able to respond to them from a heart that is warm and wishes them well. Remember when you felt that way and revel in that expansive feeling of patience and loving kindness. And wish it for yourself now and in the future. May I feel free from the inevitable suffering of body or mind. Imagine being free of all suffering, or that whatever suffering arose, whether it was related to the body or mind, it would not stick to you. So that you don't have to take that suffering in or make it a part of you. You can be free from suffering. You know there are times when you have been. Remember those feelings. Enjoy them. And explore how it might feel to live without the burden of physical or emotional dukkha. Give yourself the gift, saying, "May I feel free from the inevitable suffering of body or mind." May I know and accept myself and all beings, just as we are. Imagine that there is nothing about yourself that you don't know and accept. No forgotten shames or hurts or regrets. Everything acknowledged and accepted with a sense of embracing yourself and loving yourself fully. Allow this feeling into your heart, saying, "May I love and accept myself just as I am." And as we open with love to our own human nature, we gain understanding of each other and other species. The Buddhist statement that all beings want to be happy rings with a new sense of truth, wrapped in love and joy. May you and all beings be happy and joyful.